Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
By way of an introduction to the book of Romans, it's important, I think, we understand certain things. First of all, we need to understand who it was written to, and obviously it was written to the church at Rome. Rome was the center of the Roman Empire. Obviously, you can imagine everything that flowed into there, every world religion, every disease that was going to show up, every sin that was going to show up, every practice that was going to show up was going to find itself in Rome. This is why, as it says, and it was literal, all roads lead to Rome. The author of the epistle is the Apostle Paul, which we saw in verse 1. But why did the apostle write to the church at Rome at this time? He wrote for three purposes in particular. First, he wrote to teach the fundamental doctrine of salvation to help the believers against the Judaizers, those who would come into the church and try to place them under the bondage of salvation by any other means than that through the faith and the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He also wrote to explain the unbelief of Israel and to vindicate the faithfulness of God in his dealings both with Israel and with his people. He also wrote to give a practical instruction concerning our Christian living. Just as the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of Pocatello Baptist Church are the foundation upon which upon which the government or this local body believers are to take care of that which the Lord has entrusted to them, so also the Book of Romans has often been called the Constitution of Christianity or a Christian. The book written unto the Romans assembled a group of Gentiles, believers, instructing them to practice their faith and the instructions in the tenets and the doctrines of Christianity. If you've never taken time to read the book of Romans or study it, I would encourage you to do so even prior to us getting there together as we come together on Sunday mornings. But enough of an introduction. We haven't assembled ourselves this morning to get an introduction or to find out about Rome. We've assembled together this morning that we might study the Word of God, that by Him and His Holy Spirit, we might somehow be conformed even more into the image of His own Son. Let's pray. Father, Lord God, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just thank you and praise you, Lord. We praise you for this day, Lord, though we would have never desired to face it, Lord Father. We thank you that you counted us strong and able to face it. We know your mercies are new every morning, and we know you call us to rejoice in every day. And this day, Lord, in particular, when we open your word, Lord Father, we ask that you would speak to us by your Spirit and through your servant, that we may rejoice in the truth of your scriptures and the instructions from your word. May you get the glory this morning, as in every day, from each and every life that is here this morning. In Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's begin this morning by rereading this text. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I chose a pretty good chunk of text, in my opinion, to go over this morning. And when I was preparing and re-looking at my notes last night, I got through one verse. And we're going to focus this morning on verse 1 of this passage, where the apostle writing, Paul, says he's a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. You would not think there was much to be gleaned from a salutation in any given book. I mean, when you open your letter and it says, Dear John, you don't take a whole lot from that. You don't think to yourself, wow, that is so insightful. No, you breeze right past that point usually to get to the bulk of the letter. But honestly, if it's a Dear John letter, in particular if it's during World War II, you really paid attention, didn't you? But in all honesty, a lot of times the salutation itself words in one. We may open our letters to individuals as we write to them with the meaning we express to them that we love them, something we hold to our heart and we hope to find precious. We may open our letters with welcome. You know, you get a welcome letter. Maybe you started a new credit card or maybe you started a new bank account and you get a new letter from that bank that says, welcome to our bank. Basically, they're saying, thank you for joining us in our endeavor to be a bank. But in those words, they're expressing much more than just simply what is actually written there. And no different it was the Apostle Paul. I am truly a believer in the fact that there is not one word in the Word of God. There's not one placement in the Word of God that is there by accident. He put every word there on purpose. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit as they wrote the Word of God. And everything they said was meant to be where it's at. So we can and we should examine the text as it is written. So Paul, obviously he lets you know, it's me. I'm the one writing, Paul. Formerly Saul, 25 years before this letter, approximately 25 years, we don't know exactly, but approximately 25 years before this letter was written, Paul was on the road to Damascus. He was on his way to go kill Christians, in essence. When God himself came down, stood before him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, I don't know who you are, Lord, which is an amazing statement in of itself. Is it not the fact that he acknowledged the fact that this, whatever was standing before him was the Lord? But I don't know who you are. 25 years later, Paul is writing a letter to a church at Rome. Paul. And then the next very important word, a servant. The word servant there, you've heard it mentioned many times, is the doulos in the Greek. Right? The doulos, simply meaning a bond servant. And the unique thing about a bond servant is one who chose to be a servant. One who would choose to remain in service to their master. They weren't really a slave in the traditional sense. They weren't one who was bought at auction or perhaps sold from one owner to another. They were rather one who had been given their liberty at one point or another, and they were set free at one point or another and chose to remain in the service of that master. What a beautiful word. Paul acknowledging that he was set free, even on the road to Damascus was he set free. And from 25 years later, he's still saying, I am choosing to serve my Savior. I can't tell you, unfortunately, how many brothers and sisters I've seen over my 20, I've only been a believer now for 20 years, a little over 20 years, 1992, not even 20 years yet. No, it is. I can't do math. Don't mind me. All right. Lord called me to preach, not to teach. Okay. Math anyway. All right, I got a 21 in the back there. 21, Brian, help me out. 21 years. In my 21 years as a Christian, I can't tell you how many brothers and sisters in Christ I've seen leave or walk away from their master. 25 years. And think about Paul's life as a 25-year veteran in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was stoned, most likely to death, entered heaven. And the Lord said, not done yet, go back. And he wrote about it later on. He said, there are things that I saw that I can't even begin to utter to you. Paul was persecuted by every side. He was persecuted by the church to begin with. I mean, let's be honest. All right? If for example, I don't know, Stalin was to walk into our midst this morning, most of us would go, oh, guess we're going home today. Because he doesn't like Christians. And Paul didn't like Christians. And Christians understood that. And Paul, when he would walk into those fellowships, undoubtedly got these looks like, is that really him? Do we need to run? What do we got to do? What do we need to do now? He got it from the church. And then, of course, he got it from the Jews. Why? Because he went from being one who persecuted the church, trying to snuff out Christianity, to one who became the biggest proponent of Christianity. One who would eventually write the majority of our New Testament. And he was still choosing to be a servant 25 years later. 25 years later, he chose to be a servant. But I'd be remiss if I sat here this morning and tried to ignore the elephant in the room. I would be. We all know we suffered a tragedy over the last week and a half. I was having a conversation this morning actually with Larry Hughes out there. And we have to praise God. He doesn't ask us for our opinions because our opinions would differ from God's. But God knows what's right and perfect. We have to acknowledge that. But over the past week, at some point, I'm sure each and every one of us has questioned God's decision and decisions. And whether or not this really is a God we would choose to serve. Now, for some of us, when we asked that question, it literally took a matter of seconds before God rebuked us in our mind because we know the scripture so well and we've been in love with our Lord for so long and we understand what we've been saved from. That we repented almost immediately, understanding as Romans 8:28 would tell us that all we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. For some of us, it was that quick. Oh, we may have wavered back and forth every once in a while. And for some of us, it may have taken a little longer to get to that point. And there's a chance that there's some of us sitting here right now this morning who have not come to that point yet. So I would ask you, why would we choose to be a servant? Why should I choose to be a servant? Why should I choose to remain faithful? I'm reminded of one of the saddest verses in all of the text of the Bible, in my opinion. Let's go ahead and just turn over there together. Turn to John chapter 6. We're going to spend a little bit of time there. In particular, I want to start by looking at verse 66. This is probably one of the saddest verses in the entire New Testament, in my opinion. John chapter 6, verse 66. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I think it's almost ominous that the number itself there is John chapter 6, verse 66. And it says there that many of his disciples chose at that point to walk away from him. Do you realize that each one of us are faced every day with that same choice? Are we going to walk away? Every day, not just because of the situation we may be presently facing, but every day we need to wake up that morning and we need to be willing to say, today, Lord, will I be your servant. Today, Lord, will I be your servant. I am sure there were many days in the Apostle Paul's life that he woke up and thought to himself, tent making looking a little better today. Tent making looking a little better today. And you know what? There are going to be days that we're going to wake up and we're going to realize, hey, tent making may look a little better today, but we still have to choose that day. You know, we're reminded in the Old Testament when the Israelites were brought out and Moses was up on the mountain, he comes back down and he sees the idolatry that's going on in the camp. And later on, he gets there and he says, choose this day whom you will serve. Notice he didn't say, choose now forever. I believe that was in the perfect present tense because it was meant to be in the perfect present tense. Choose today whom you're going to serve. Choose today. we are faced with this choice. But I want to look more at this passage. What was our apostle really talking about? Pick it up with verse 52 with me, if you would. What was our Savior, really talking about when his disciples chose to walk away, many of them? Verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day." Praise God. "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As a living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so that he that eateth even shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. But he that eateth of this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" This is the flesh and the blood he was talking about. Obviously, we know he was not literally speaking of us going and taking a chunk out of him and chewing on it or drinking his blood. This flesh and blood, the Son of Man, denotes the Redeemer and the nature of man. Christ, him crucified, the redemption wrought by him with all the precious benefits of redemption. Pardon for sin, acceptance of God, the way to the throne of grace, the promises of the covenant of eternal life. These are called the flesh and blood of Christ because they were purchased by the breaking of his body and the shedding of his blood. We must partake of Christ and his benefits by faith. The soul that rightly knows its state and wants and finds in the flesh, meditating upon the cross, gives life to our repentance. We must meditate upon that work that he completed on the cross so we understand what repentance is. Meditating on the cross, the right gives us repentance, love, and gratitude. We live by him as our bodies live by our food. We live by him. Our soul, our spirit, our being, aside from the flesh, lives by him. As members by the head of the branches by the root. Because he lives, so also will we. That is what he's talking about here. He's talking about that we need to choose to partake in him. This morning, we're going to celebrate communion together, and we have open communion here. Anyone who is here who has professed the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is more than welcome to share with us when we get to that point. But we understand that by taking these implements, we're not really eating the flesh of Christ. As some others would believe. We're not really drinking the blood of the Lord, as some others would believe. We understand it is merely just grape juice in there and a little bit of unleavened bread. We get that. But that's not what he was really saying to the disciples here. He was saying, "Are you going to choose to partake in me and who I am and what I represent? Are you going to choose to be redeemed by me, to be forgiven by me? Because I'm going to be broken for you. And my blood is going to be shed for you." And I find it kind of funny that the disciples in verse 60, it says, when they heard this, many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" It is hard. And you know what? Do you think it was easy for our Savior to go to the cross for us? We could read in the Garden of Gethsemane where he sweat blood for us. Where he prayed to his Father in heaven, "If there's any other way, let's take that one. But nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but thine be done." I thank God for that "but" right there. Because if he hadn't said, "But my will, but yours, Lord," I wonder where we'd be. But look at how he answers this question. Let's continue on. Verse 61. "And when Jesus knew him in himself that his disciples murmured it, and said, he said unto them, Does this offend you? Does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Does this offend you? Are you offended by the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit this morning? By his choices and his decisions? And if you're sitting here suffering, you're wondering that, I want to ask you that question directly. I really am. Are you offended by his choices and decisions? I understand. Are you contemplating not remaining in his service because of the choices he's made? Are you struggling with the idea that how can this be a God who I can serve? But I want you to understand what he was speaking about there. You may think it, and don't get me wrong, it's a tragedy, but you may think it a hard thing, what you're facing right now, and what we're facing right now, collectively. And not saying it's not a hard thing. It is difficult. I have to tell you guys, in all honesty, this is probably the most difficult message I've ever delivered in my entire life. It really is. But I understand one who took a much more difficult path than what I face today. I understand one who chose a path that would take him to his own creation where they would tear him apart. Literally. They would mock and spit at him and shove a spear into his side. You want to know what we should be offended by? We should be offended by the fact that the God of all creation had to come in the form of flesh that we, and I say we, though we may not have been the actual soldier shoving the spear in his side, that is why he died, that we would kill him so we could be redeemed. That should be offensive to you. But that's not his desire for us. He desires that we should rejoice in his death. He desires that we should live in his death. He desires that we should understand we're redeemed by his death. And that one day we will see him again in heaven because of his death. This is what he desires of you and I this morning. Not that we should stand here offended this morning because of the difficulties we're facing. That we would stand here rejoicing because of the difficulties we're facing. Because he has accounted us worthy to face this time. And we're going to talk more on that in a second. But I like, as he continues on in this passage, and just jump now with me, if you will. In verse 65, he says, and he said, therefore, he looked and he saw as well. He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by the Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. What a heartbreaking verse. But then Jesus said unto the 12, now notice that there's only 12 remaining. And he says to those 12, will you go away? Will you go away? And he's asking each one of us this question this morning. Are we going to choose to go away? Whether it be from this body or another, are we choosing to go away because of what we face in the difficulties and the hard times? Or will you choose to remain? And I love the response of the disciples. Peter speaks up. In verse 68, Then Simon Peter, answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, answers them, I have not chosen 12. Have I not chosen 12, and one of you is the devil? There will be a devil that will remain amongst us, unfortunately. Everybody has one. Now, I'm trusting that devil's not sitting here this morning because they probably didn't really feel compelled to come. But there may be a devil in our midst, and that's okay. There was a devil in Christ's midst. But you know what I want you to understand about this is what the Apostle Peter was really saying in that answer. He says this, where are we going to go? And I would ask you that. Who are you going to go to? If you're not going to accept what the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, did for you on the cross, if you're not going to accept his will in your life, no matter what those decisions are, if you're not going to accept who he is and what path he has chosen for you, Where are you going to go? To yourself? I tried that for many years. And I know where it got me. And I praise God he got me out of that. Oh, maybe you're going to turn to a modern day prophet, somebody who seems to have the authority of God on their shoulders. Why? So he can lord over you? Our Savior gives us liberty. Our Savior says, choose to serve me. I don't remember the actress's name now. I want to say Leah Remen, but I'm not positive about that. But she was in one of the sitcoms with Kevin James for years. I remember that. But she was in the Church of Scientology. She recently left. Right? And do you want to know why she chose to leave? Because she had a daughter. Now you think, what's that got to do with anything? She remembered what it was like for her growing up in the Church of Scientology. She was lorded over by the church, used as a slave by the church. Her mom was rarely home because the church was taking advantage of her service. Not so with our Savior. He says, choose to serve me. But if you don't choose to serve me, I still choose to love you. And I still choose to die for you. And I choose still to have you. But he desires that we should choose him. He desires that we should choose him. Whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. This is prior to his death and his ascension. Just being in the presence of the Savior made them understand this. And by the way, did you know that's why we assemble on a Sunday morning? This is why we assembled here this morning, was that we might be in the presence of our Savior. We're in the presence of our Savior every day. He dwells in us, don't get me wrong. But when you get a group of people like this together, boy, you can see Christ. You know? That's why we're not out there alone depending upon ourselves. That's not why we think we're strong enough to handle all these situations and occasions on our own. And in all honesty, that is exactly why I know many of us right now are hurting for the Dethridges, but that's why they're here this morning, because this is where they need Christ. You and I to be the representative of him and our love and our support and our kindness and our generosity. That's why we're here. We don't gather together just so we can go, oh, okay, I went to church this morning. I feel good about myself. Do you see in that response that they're making a choice to remain with Jesus no matter how difficult his words or how hard it was to hear? I mean, seriously, they made a choice no matter what. Where are you going to go if you choose not to stay? And in all honesty, if you choose not to stay, will you just do me a favor? Come back and tell me to whom you went. You can give it some time. Come back and find myself or Mr. Murray or one of the trustees. Come back and tell us where you went. We want to know. Now, hopefully, if you choose not to, you go to the Lord somewhere else. But if you choose any other path of the world, come back and see us after a while and let us know how that's working out for you. Back to our text this morning, Romans chapter 1. It says here, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated in the gospel of God. So the next word we're going to look at in Paul's salutation is not only is he a servant, not only is he choosing to remain with our Lord and Savior, he was called by his Savior. He was called by his Savior. So we see Paul calling himself a bondservant, a man choosing to remain a slave no matter the cost thereof. This word called, the kletos in the Greek, means to be appointed to this. Do you understand that? Paul was called. He was appointed. He chose, but he was also appointed. Now that's hard for our little finite minds to wrap itself around, isn't it? Paul was choosing to remain a servant at the same time that God was appointing him to be something. Paul was appointed to this. So servants are called and appointed for specific things. Paul was appointed to be an apostle. But we have also been called. Look ahead at verse 6 there of this passage, and we'll get more into this later on. It says, among whom ye also are called of Jesus Christ. You realize you're appointed for something too? You realize you're appointed for this day? You're appointed for this season? You were appointed for the difficulty that lies ahead of us. God appointed you for that. We have been called. I'm reminded of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8. Chapter 8 in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Where it says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I want to pause there for a second. Isn't that awesome? He gives us the gift of faith too. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, here we go. Here's the important part that I want to focus on this morning. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Do you realize that you are created for something? You sit here this morning as a believer, hopefully in each and every one of you in here is a believer, Lord Jesus Christ. And you are sitting here as a believer this morning, and God has foreordained that you should be here, and he has foreordained the works that you should walk in them. I was given an analogy, actually, believe it or not, as I was driving back from Pastor's graveside service, I was doing my thing I do with the Lord, which is basically, Lord, why, what, you know, kind of those things, and trying to get my head around a little bit of this. Right? And as I'm driving back, the Lord gave me an analogy. And it's gotten better over the days. So if I shared it with you in its prematurity, please understand it got better. Okay? So as I was driving back from the grave, he gave me a thought. And this is the thought he gave me. He gave me this passage. He said that we were created his workmanship, that we have works that he pre-ordained that we should walk in them. My wife loves me, at least I assume she does, because she says it every night. All right? My wife loves me. And you know what I know about my wife is that I have to go to work, yes, 8 to 5 every day. Sometimes a little bit longer, depending on what's going on. But typically speaking, that is my daily schedule, 8 to 5. And one of the things I know about my wife is she loves it when I come home. Because she loves me. Right? And so she could tell me and talk to me or whatever the case may be. She loves it when I come home. And that's a great thing. I'm really, really, really thankful for that. But let me ask you guys this. Your God, your Savior, how much more does he love you? And so when your work day is complete here, how much more does he love to bring you home? I don't want to remain here when my work is complete. When my work is all, take me home, Lord, because you love me. We've seen people mill around at their jobs. They're kind of the weirdos, aren't they? Their work day's over and they still hang out and keep talking to people. Maybe that's where their friends are. I don't know. But they kind of hang around. People are like a little annoyed. Like, I got to work here. What are you doing? Go home. Get out of here. We don't want to be those people. When our work is complete here, we want the one who loves us to take us home. One of the things I love about the word work in that passage is it carries the idea of laboring and toiling, and that's not a light thing. And the Lord has set works before each one of us this morning. We have a work set before us right now that we're going to walk in. And it's going to be a labor. And it's going to be a toil. And you know what? I'm thankful for that, because after a good, nice, hard day's work, and I'm exhausted, going home feels so much better. But if it's been like, I just sat around and played video games all day at work. By the way, I don't ever do that. And please don't let my boss know that thought even crossed my mind. All right? But you know what I'm saying? If you've just goofed off all day at school, at work, like it's like the day before Christmas, right? Nothing gets done. Right? You try to get something done, but most people are like, oh, I see. Right? And there's tons of food around, so you got to get up and eat that, right? I mean, you have to. It'd be offensive not to. And you know, so you're goofing off, and at the end of that work day, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, you go home, and you're still happy to be home, but it's kind of a different feeling, isn't it? It's like, I had a great day today. Work didn't feel like work at all. If work was like that every day, I would love to go. This is what he's saying to us, guys. Our work, our toil, our labors, it should be difficult so that when we reach the end of them, we want to go home. He's realized, and I realize, that you and I in this body, he's appointed for this toil that is before us and called us to it. Shauna and I used to have this friend, and I used to only because we don't get the opportunity to fellowship as much anymore. If she was here this morning, I'd still call her a friend. All right, I don't want you to think I got rid of her. But we used to have this friend, and she was one of those friends, and perhaps you've had one of those friends who, no matter what subject you were talking about, and no matter how proficient you were on that subject, she just knew a little bit more. Right? So much more did she know that actually, literally, one time she corrected me on a childhood memory. I didn't meet her till I was 20. I was telling her about this meal that my mother used to make and what my mother called it. And she told me, she literally said that. No, that's not what your mom made. And I was blown away by, I don't know if you've ever been corrected on a childhood memory or not, but it's honestly, it takes your breath away. You're like, what do I say? What does that mean? Okay, then what was my memory? But you know what? And she was very difficult. I had a real hard time with her. And she was one of those people who just, you know, and I honestly prayed against her for a while. And I was honestly not very kind to her on most occasions, yet she still hung around. Until a wise person shared this thought with me and Chandra. She shared with us as we were complaining about our friend. I know, funny saying complain and friend in the same sentence. But we were complaining about this friend. And this person said to us, how strong the Lord must consider you. What? How strong must the Lord consider you that he gave you a friend like that? Let that sink in for a minute. How strong must our Savior consider us that he gave us a task like this? Now, I get it. It's not our own strength. It's by his Spirit and his strength. But he still counts us worthy of this time, strong enough to handle this time. Strong enough to face it and strong enough to go on. Oh, it doesn't mean that it wasn't difficult still having that friend. It was. She still was like sandpaper against me. Which, by the way, what good is smooth sandpaper? It's not any good, is it? All you can do with smooth sandpaper is just basically wear out your hand. You need rough sandpaper. We need rough times, because if we don't have rough times and we don't have rough sandpaper, then we honestly are never going to become smooth. She was still difficult. She was still hard to handle. But I praised God for her. Because you know what I had to learn to do? I had to learn to love her for who she was, not who I wanted her to be. Do you think your Savior doesn't do the same with you? Do you think he doesn't love us for who we are right now? When you got saved and you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he accepted you and loved you for that person? He didn't say, I need you to be here before I can love you. No, I'll take care of the rest. You just let me love you. God must account us a very strong church. And God must account the Deathridge as a very strong family. I don't get it. Because I see a lot of weakness and deficiency in myself. And I don't know about you guys. But I see a lot of areas that I'm just like, Lord, really? Because I don't think I'm strong enough to handle this one. Thank God he doesn't look at me through my eyes. Brothers and sisters, we've been appointed to this labor and this toil. And continuing on now in our text, Paul chose to be a servant. Christ called him to be an apostle, and then he separated him. He separated him under the gospel of God. He separated, that word separated simply means to, if you would, put a hedge about or a mark around or a boundary around. You know, we have a garden at home, a little raised bed garden, and it has the wood around it. So the things that hopefully grow in that garden belong there, and the things that don't, we pull out, right? But do you realize that that garden doesn't get to grow like the grass? It's not meant to be grass. It's meant to be the garden. God has called each one of us, and He's appointed each one of us a task and a toil and a labor and a work that we must walk in it. But He's telling you, I've marked out for you what that is. Don't try to be what you're not. Don't try to be. I mean, there's tons of childhood stories about that, isn't there? Tons of little kids' books you can read about that. You know, about one animal thinking it should be another. You know, I think of the ugly duckling. Right? It's like, I want to be a duck. I want to be a duck. And it was so upset that it didn't look like the rest of the ducks, only to find out that it was a beautiful swan because that's not what it was created to be. You have been created by God to be something. God has appointed you to be something, and He's given you a work that you should walk in that. So choose to do that. Let Him mark that hedge around you. Find out what that is. Fit into it and work it and be it. Some of you honestly may never, honestly, ever, aside from fellowshipping with us, and perhaps tithe or anything like that, ever put any labor into this body aside from that. And that's okay, because God hasn't appointed you that. Perhaps you're sitting at home praying. That's just as important. But find out what God has for you. I had a conversation with a brother this week, and he says, I know my place in the body. And he's feeling it well, and I praise God for him. And guys, right now in this time, and I'm just going to encourage each one of us this way, and I know some of you are visitors and some of you are new, and I get that, but we love you too. We want you here. Because God has brought you guys here and brought each one of us here because each one of us has a marked out boundary, a hedge, a gift that He has given us that He wants us to use for one another. You may not stand up here and teach ever. That's okay. Because I can tell you from somebody who teaches on a regular basis, one of the most important things I need is a hug. A hug of support. And people praying. God has given each one of us a gift, and He has set a boundary about it, and He's told us to use that. Why? For His gospel. He called us. It says in verse 6, He called us. And He wants us to use that for His gospel as well, for His good news, for His glory. He wants you to use the talents. I love that we have three young people over here, and four normally, but he forgot his instrument today. That, you know what? Yeah, they are not the most, and don't get offended, guys. I love you, and I appreciate your contribution. But they are not the most skilled players yet. But they're learning, and they're growing. But they're using the gifts and the talents that God has given them to contribute to our body. What gift, what talent has God given you that you could contribute to this body? How annoying would it be? You guys have all seen that. You know, one of the saddest things I've ever seen is palsy. How many of you guys are familiar with palsy? Right? And it's where part of your body almost just dies on you. It comes eventually back. But it's one of the saddest things I've ever seen happen to somebody. Because you can see their frustration. My Uncle Tom is in a nursing home right now. He had a massive stroke. And he can't speak very well now. He doesn't move the best either, but he can't speak very well now. God has given him some choice words. He's not a godly man. That he can still say clearly for some reason. I don't know why. I'm like, Lord, give him other words, not those ones. Right? But nonetheless, you know what? I can see, because when I go and I sit down with him and I speak with him, I see the frustration on him. That it's like, I have this ability, or I had this ability, and I can't do it anymore. Don't let that happen to you. You have this ability. You have this gift. One of the blessings, I honestly have to say, that has come over this last week is how many people in this body I've watched and heard and spoke to and have talked to me and have stepped up and taken on things they would have never taken on before. I praise God for it. And it wasn't because they couldn't take them up before. It's because they felt like, oh, it doesn't need to be done. Guess what? It needed to be done then too. But you know what? We thank you that you're doing it now. Use the gifts and the talents that the Lord has given you. Contribute to this body that we might be unified and grow together. All right. And here's my last thought for you guys on this. We do a lot of that for the gospel of God, for the glory of God. Interesting thing about sheep. I'm not a shepherd in the sense of I've never been out in the field with lambs and sheep. Right? But I've been to McKee's. And I've seen lambs and sheep over there. And you know what? The lambs and the sheep are in the pen with the lambs and the sheep. I've never seen the lambs and the sheep in with the chickens. Now, there's chickens all over the place there, I know, but there's that particular one that has chickens in it. And you know what? That's because chickens don't beget sheep. Sheep beget sheep. You want to know why you have to use the gifts and the talents the Lord has given you for this body? It's because you're going to bring sheep. You're going to do it for the gospel of God if you use what God has given you. And it's going to be to His glory. Next week, we're going to spend a little more time talking about that gospel and what that gospel really is all about. And you might be amazed, and we touched a little bit on this morning, you might be amazed that it has nothing to do with you and what you have, but what's been done for you.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like you to join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer services for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.